This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number 10. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. This is our 10th podcast in a series of podcasts that are dedicated to assisting independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in the construction industry. In the feature segment of our podcast, we are going to be discussing the importance of a good construction schedule and looking at ways of preparing a construction schedule that will be a critical tool in assisting your project team in completing your construction project. In the legal segment of our podcast, we'll be looking at an interesting case involving a contractor's request for extended overhead and the role the construction schedule played in the ruling. In our safety segment this month, we're going to be looking at OSHA's top 10 safety violations. This will probably be broken up into two parts, the first five this month and the next five next month, in order to elaborate on each of the violations. Welcome to this month's feature segment of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. I can't believe we're already at the 1st of March. Now we're finally coming out of the winter doldrums here and start seeing the weather break a little bit. We're starting to see a little bit of increase in bidding opportunities on projects throughout our region, and it looks like money may be loosening up a little bit, which means banks may be funding some of the projects that we're looking at. In any event, I sure am glad we're starting into a springtime pattern with more opportunities ahead of us. Through the months of January and February, we have been continuing to try to improve our business operations with reorganization in January and looking at how we ran projects in February, particularly where capitalizing on change orders were concerned. This month, we're going to be looking at running our projects more cost-effectively. And the best tool to make sure that this is accomplished is a construction schedule. Construction schedules can be very simple or very complicated. From the simple standpoint, they could be just writing down on a piece of paper what you expect to accomplish and how you expect to accomplish it and convey this information to your team. Or you could sit down and draw out a chart on a piece of paper using a bar graph type of line drawing and put times and durations on them and convey the information this way. We use a little more advanced method, a computer program that we can enter activities and assign relationships between activities and durations and have the computer actually draw out a schedule for us. We have found the computer-aided scheduling program to be very interactive and much easier to change and update as the project moves forward. But the important thing is to make sure that you do have a plan in place in the form of a schedule before you actually start your construction project. Every construction schedule must contain certain elements to make it effective. This might sound simple, but every project has to have a beginning date and a completion date. Every project will also have activities. Work activities are broken down into the lowest common denominator, or element of work, to establish a workflow through the project. An example of this would be that you don't pour footings before you actually excavate the footings, and you don't lay block walls on top of the footings before the footings are poured. As each of these activities are identified, they are assigned a time duration, how long we think it's going to take us to complete that particular activity. as these activities are put into the schedule and tied together, certain activities will fall on what's known as the critical path. The critical path of a project is defined as the activities that must be done in that exact sequence in order for the project to be started and completed on the dates listed in the project. Activities on the project that do not fall on the critical path are referred to as activities that have float. They float in the flow of work and may or may not impact the critical path depending on when they are actually completed. A good construction schedule will have all of these activities tied together so that if some of the activities that have float are not completed when scheduled and run upon an activity that is on the critical path, they become a part of the critical path. This is why it is so important to make sure that a construction schedule is updated on a project on a regular basis, usually weekly, so that if activities are not progressed or completed, may become critical, and your project team needs to know about these activities in advance so that they can make plans accordingly. Several years ago, we developed a strategy for implementing construction schedules on all of our projects. At the very beginning of the project, once we were awarded a contract, the estimating team and the project management team would sit down and review the entire project together, and at that time develop the construction schedule. This helped the entire team understand the workflow involved in the project, made sure there was adequate time and resources available for each of the activities, and made the entire project team think through the entire construction process before actually starting construction. In short, we built it on paper before we tried to build it in the field. The biggest challenge that we encountered was getting good time updates from the field to be able to keep the construction schedule updated. We are now including, as part of our weekly progress meeting in the field, time to actually update the construction schedule so that it is republished for the next week's meeting. We would recommend this process of developing a construction schedule on every project, large or small. In fact, I think that it's probably more critical on a smaller project because they can go south from a time standpoint much faster because of the shorter duration of the project. It is now time for the legal segment of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. The information in this section is taken from the Construction Claims Advisor with the express permission of WP Publishing Company. In this month's segment, we're going to be looking at how a construction schedule submitted to the court affected the outcome of the court's ruling. The U.S. Court of Federal Claims has denied a contractor's claim for extended field overhead and unabsorbed home office overhead. The contractor's scheduled early completion was not realistic, and the delays it encountered were the responsibility of the contractor. A little bit of background. The Federal Highway Administration awarded a contract to Delher Industries Incorporated for the construction of 7.68 miles of road in the Lincoln National Forest in New Mexico. The Federal Highway Administration issued a notice to proceed on December 16, 2003, and established a contract completion deadline of August 30, 2005. Delher submitted a planned construction schedule indicating contract completion by September 11, 2004. The Federal Highway Administration told Delher it considered the schedule unrealistic. The proposed schedule lacked a critical path, spaced activities too close together in an overlapping manner, and assumed very aggressive production rates. The Federal Highway Administration said two construction seasons would be required to complete the work in the rugged high-altitude area. Delher insisted it could finish the work in one season. Delher completed the project on October 5, 2005, 35 days after the contractual completion deadline. The Federal Highway Administration assessed liquidated damages. Delher submitted a claim for delay damages and demanded remission of the liquidated damages. It argued that government-caused delays had extended its performance period, thus increased its field office overhead, and reduced the amount of fixed home office overhead absorbed by the contract. Delher claimed $111,507 in field overhead and $156,009 in home office overhead. The Court of Federal Claims said that the claim failed for lack of proof. The evidence indicated the contractor's planned construction schedule was not realistic and could not have been achieved regardless of the delays experienced on the project. Moreover, the delays appeared to be the responsibility of the contractor. Delher's expert witness, Dr. Gerald Williams, did not prepare any project schedule analysis. Delher simply attributed the delay to the Federal Highway Administration, with no attempt to account for its own contribution to the delay. In contrast, the Federal Highway Administration's expert witness, Francis Berman, prepared a time impact analysis comparing Delher's as-planned schedule with the as-built schedule assembled from job records. This analysis revealed five discrete delay events. 1. Delher's late submittal of shop drawings delayed construction of stabilized retaining walls. 2. Delher was slow to commence production of aggregate base, a critical activity. 3. The project had to be shut down for the winter. 4. Delher was slow to recommence paving operations. And 5. Delher had difficulty maintaining the specified asphalt mix. In conclusion, in order for a contractor to recover for government interference with scheduled early completion, it must show not only that its schedule was realistic, but also that it would have achieved its scheduled completion date, but for the acts of omissions of the government. It is virtually impossible to meet this standard of proof without project scheduled analysis. This really does go to show that not only must a schedule be accurate, but it has to be kept up to date. If this contractor had done that and the government had delayed it as it felt it had in its early completion by keeping their schedule up to date and accurate throughout the project, they would have been able to prove their case. And now it's time for the safety segment of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. This month we're going to start a two-part series on the top 10 safety violations as reported by OSHA in this last quarter. We are dividing this up into two segments to give them proper coverage. In this month's sections, we will be dealing with violations 6 through 10, and next month, we will be dealing with violations 1 through 5. Number 10 on the list is hazard communications. Number of inspections were 623. Number of citations was 1,311, with total fine amounts of $175,265, or an average fine of $281. Hazard communication is very important to the health and safety of your employees. You need to have a list of all hazardous materials on your job site. This list must be posted for all employees to see. They must be trained in proper use of personal protective equipment. Material safety data sheets must be on site. These are just a few reasons why the companies were fined. Violation number 9 was training. Number of inspections, 1,488. Number of citations, 1,557. Total amount fined, $666,537, with an average fine of $447. Training should be a top priority for any company, but sadly, it isn't. Your employees need to be trained in every aspect of their job, from tool safety, operating equipment, to the use of personal protective equipment. The list goes on. When you hire someone, take the time to train them. It will save you time and money in the long run. Violation number 8 is training requirements. Number of inspections, 1,055. Number of citations, 1,158. Total amount fined, $491,164, for an average fine of $465. Training requirements in any industry are vital to the health and safety of the employees, as well as the proper running of the company. Have regular safety meetings. Weekly toolbox talks are a great way of communicating training information to your employees. Train all employees in their specific jobs. It might be fall protection and proper equipment needed for handling hazardous materials, having MSDS sheets, and the use of respirators. Safety training is very important. OSHA is very clear on training. Violation number 7, head protection. Number of inspections, 1,461. Number of citations, 1,464. Total amount fined, $747,099. Average fine, $511. Head protection is very important on any job site. You must wear a hard hat. All sorts of things fly around a job site, from heights, trucks, or just walking into something. If your people are not wearing their hard hats, you risk being cited and fined. I think it's amazing that a $511 fine for an employee not wearing a hard hat would be tolerated by any construction company. Make your employees wear hard hats. Violation number 6, wiring design and protection. Number of inspections, 851. Number of citations, 1,042. Total amount fined, $461,269, with an average fine of $542. Regulations require that the employer use either ground fault circuit interrupter equipment or an assured equipment grounding conductor program. The most common electrical hazard on today's construction site is from the ground fault electrical shock. Electrical accidents are usually caused by unsafe equipment and/or installation, unsafe workplaces caused by environmental factors, and unsafe work practices. Well, that's the 5 violations for this month, and we will give you the top 5 violations next month. And now it's time for the quick tips and bonus section of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. It really has been a very rough and bumpy last 2 years for the construction industry. And those of us that are still around have a lot to be proud of. I really think it means we're trying to make a difference in our industry. As we continue now to move forward in 2011, there are a couple of things that I'd like to point out that we need to be thinking about as we strive to not only survive, but increase our management capabilities and improve our profit margins. Here are four essential things that I believe we need to look at this coming year. The first one is, have a backup plan for emergencies. If you need your business to run and profit without you, do you have someone you can count on to step up to the plate for you? If not, consider hiring or training a salesperson, foreman, an estimator, or office manager that can fill that role. Make a plan. Even if it's just an overview, it will give you direction and support in case of an emergency. Number two is follow big money. Are you ready to move your construction company the way the industry moves, up, down, or sideways? Be ready to change the focus of your activities from doing general contracting to subcontracting. Consider remodeling instead of building new buildings, and even maintenance in plants can be very lucrative. Explore niche markets like aging in place and green building construction. It's critical to think creatively during these economic times. Three, understand your customers' needs. Have you thought about your customer base, what they have been facing the last 2 years as well, what their needs might be? Call your customers and talk to them and ensure them that you're there to help them whenever they need help. And finally, what do you know? Do you have the business know-how you need to run your company efficiently and consistently, making good profit? I suggest at this time that you take a class, acquire and study some good construction management books and courses. I also recommend that you look for a mentor, someone that you can count on to give you good construction management advice. Well, that's our four quick tips for the month. And now for our bonuses. Since we have been dealing with scheduling this month, I came across an incredible piece of scheduling software called Open Workbench. Open Workbench is an open source Windows-based desktop application that provides robust scheduling and management functionality. I have reviewed it, and I think it rivals Microsoft Project in functionality. To get your free copy of this scheduling software, go to www.cbmapodcast/schedule. We will also have that link in our show notes. I would also like to encourage you to go to iTunes and write a review on the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast. Let other folks know what you think about the materials that we are presenting to the construction industry. In addition, I really recommend that you take the Construction 101 assessment. We still have folks taking the assessment, and we're finding some very interesting results, and we'll be publishing those in about the next 3 months, but we would like additional folks to take the assessment before we do. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Alliance podcast.